Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 30. Before I read it, though, I want to just give a little shout out to a man that had a lot of influence in my life when I was a young Bible college student. Mark Lewis is in the back there. He's the bearded wonder. He's way in the back there, and he used to be the youth pastor here, and he impacted my life hugely, and Michelle's hugely. So, thank you for coming. Yeah, he taught me everything I know, so if this is really bad, it's his fault. All right, we're going to look at Philippians chapter 2, 19 to 30, and then I'm going to take a little bit different. We'll see where she goes for you, all right? It says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send you, to send Timothy to you, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him and not on him only, but also me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. Now, you look at that and you go, there's not a lot of theology in there, right? It's not like a big, thick, heavy Romans, right, where we're talking about sanctification and justification, blood and the cross and all that. But there's some really neat things in there that I just want to point out a little bit for you to you this morning. Paul has already mentioned that the Philippians are to be supportive of each other and to be like-minded in trying to reach the same goal and do everything without complaining. Now, I could stop there and we could talk about that. Because really, how many times have you complained this week? You laugh because you did lots, didn't you? And that's what we do. We complain. And you're like, I don't complain. Yeah, you do. And it's okay. But he's saying here, you know what? Do everything without complaining. We're all trying to reach the same goal here. And I really like that. And that's all throughout the New Testament. Do everything without complaining. And guess what? It's also in the Old Testament. Hey, Israel, why don't you do some stuff and stop complaining about it? Instead, you complain, so guess what? You're going in the desert for 40 years. Have a good time. And we look at that and go, but God wouldn't do that to me because I don't complain. Well, we can complain. If you remember the past few Sundays on the messages that are being preached, you'll remember that the Philippians have been complaining and arguing amongst themselves. And the solution that Paul gives is to squash selfish ambition and conceit, to cultivate the unity of the spirit and humility, and in doing so puts an interest of others first. So when you squash selfishness, when you get rid of conceit, when you cultivate unity within the church, within each other, what you're doing is you're putting the interests of others first. And that's how you do it. It's actually a guide on how to be united. And I really liked how it was worded. It's kind of, it just flows in there, but it's not obvious in here. But he does say, you know, try to get along with each other, but do it with like-mindedness, without complaining. And so Paul says, that's the solution. Put others first, and all this stuff will come together. And so simply put, Paul is saying, don't complain. And we look at that and we go, well, that's easier said than done. Because we do complain. And we sometimes, I'm going to start losing my mouth here. We sometimes think it's not complaining. Oh, it's just too hot in here. That's a complaint. It doesn't matter that it's true. It's still a complaint, right? Oh, I just wish this wasn't so loud. Oh, I just wish when I drove down the street. Oh, I just wish this person in front of me would get out of the way. Like there's all these, I wish this Starbucks lineup would move a lot faster. I wish. Or why is it always like this? And why is it always like that? Whatever your situation is, there are complaints. And we tend to do it a lot and think, well, I'm just voicing my concerns. We hide it under voicing our concerns. Well, I don't know if you know this, but sometimes your concerns aren't always valid, right? Our concerns aren't always valid. Your concerns, you can have concerns, but they might be wrong. Have we ever thought of that? What if my concerns are wrong? What then what? Well, we don't believe they're wrong. We believe they're right. And to the core, and this is what was happening in most churches in the New Testament. They believed one way and it had to be this way and blah, 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 blah. If it wasn't that way, then it was wrong and they complained and they murmured amongst each other. And again, Israel did the same thing about God. They complained and murmured. And it's human. It's the way we are. We do it. But in this time in society where relationships have become blurred because of social media and false relationships, there has never been a greater need for authentic relationships. Authentic. And that doesn't mean you complain. Well, he's so authentic because he just tells me what's wrong with everything. So authentic. It's like, no, filter, please. See, posting on social media, and if you don't know what that is or you don't do it, then don't worry about it and never do it. But what people do is they post pictures of them. So I saw this commercial and I loved it. I thought it was great. This guy, he's taking a selfie. He's like, whew, whew, he's got sweat. He's up on the top of a mountain, puts his phone away, gets in his car and drives away and posts, great run, hashtag, 10K. Right? How would anyone know, right? You don't know the guy's car's right there. Another one, sitting down at the table, at his couch, watching TV, eating, Chinese food, going out for a fantastic dinner with friends, because he took a picture of his plate, but they couldn't tell that it was in his room watching TV. It's hashtag friends, yada, yada, whatever. I don't know hashtags. I'm not good at it. So there's this false sense of doing things. And with your phones, you can make your environment behind you look so active and like, hey, what's going on? Right? And I'm so hip and cool, but nobody's talking to you. I don't know if you've ever been down the street where you're walking kids do this, like seeing them do this, right? They don't look up. I do it. I walk in the store, I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty important here. I gotta send this text out. And you're not paying attention. We all do it. Social media has given us this false sense of connectivity. So we feel like we're connected when we're really not. And we long for connection more than we ever have. See, when I hear Paul speak of Timothy and Epaphroditus, I can't help but think how great it would be to have someone talk about us like that. Like, man, these two are great. We're going to send them back to you because they're awesome. They're such good people. They love Jesus and they care about you. A reputation where someone speaks of you so highly. That was these two. And Paul saying, these are great people. They care about the right things. Do you want to be a person that's spoken of like this by other people? Now, not because of selfish reasons, because you're that person. Not because you want to be self-centered, but because you want to become that person. Because you actually want to be that. You are that person. The other thought: do you ever speak of others like that in high regard? Do you do that? Of other people. So not only are you being spoken to as a great reputation, but are you doing it for others? And not a false sense of truths to someone just to make them feel better or just pumping someone's tires to make them think you like them. Are you truly, honestly edifying, building someone up with pure respect? See, Paul told the Philippians here, do not just look out for your own personal interests, but look out for the interests of others. And Paul says that Timothy has a genuine interest in them and in the interests of Jesus Christ. So not only does he care about them, but he cares about Christ and he cares about the relationship with him. And by way of contrast, Paul says that others, they're seeking their own interests and not the interests of Christ. And so don't be like that. Are we the kind of Christians that truly seek the interests of others, whether they believe the same as you do or not? Whether you work with them and they believe, are we looking out for their interests? You got to ask yourself that question. Paul says, have a genuine interest in these people. Are you encouraging others? And are you genuinely happy for them when things are going well for them? That's tough. When things aren't going well for you, do you find it difficult to be happy for others? I'm going to say you probably do, because it would be. If everything's going wrong in your own life and everyone else is doing so well, that's kind of a kick in the pants. It feels not so good, and it's difficult. But when we recognize who we are in Christ, we can be happy for others even if it's not happening to us. And so are you truly, genuinely happy for others? Are you concerned about others more than yourself? And this is big. This is hard to do. When engaged in speaking with others, do you speak more about yourself or do you listen and question them genuinely about their life? Are you more concerned about hearing what bad is going on in their life so you feel better about your own, where you say, better them than me, and at least I'm not going through that situation? Are you there? Where are you? And we can slip in and out of those things throughout our whole life. But the question is, are you catching them? Are they becoming habits? Are they things that you're not letting go of? It's important that we make a conscious effort to make things more about others than ourselves. And so do you do that? This week, listen to what you say. Listen to how you speak to people. And is it more about you and your opinion and your concern, or is it more about how they're doing? That's the key. And if that is, don't beat yourself up about it. Fix it. Change it. Make some adjustments in your life, in your thought pattern. And so how do you do that? Well, Scripture gives us a few ideas. Paul speaks highly of Timothy and Epaphroditus, and so what can we take from that Scripture on our journey as we go out into our communities and we actually be the church? Well, first of all, Christians need to show that we are the real thing. The real thing. And what do I mean by that? I mean genuine. Be you. Don't be something that you're not. I'm all about self-improvement and about being better. But don't pretend, because people can see through that. And if it's not genuine what you're doing, they will know as they get to know you, or as they've known you, they will see that. So the first step to being real begins when you actively decide to be genuine, to be who you are. Now, be careful. This isn't a license to just go out and be obnoxious. Well, that's just who I am, people. No. No. It's about being genuine and knowing who you are. So who are you? Well, it's got to be a conscious decision that you do every day. You'll have to be committed to acting in accordance to who you are, even in times when it's challenging and you feel vulnerable. How many love it when they're vulnerable? Just open up a target and say, shoot me in the heart. Right? Nobody loves that. Nobody wants to be vulnerable. But you know what? When you feel vulnerable, it's okay. It's okay. Realness may require you to do things that are unpopular with other people. And again, with the right motives. We're not talking about just, well, I'm so unpopular because I've been such a jerk this week. I'm just real. No. No. You might also have to acknowledge some aspects of your character that are less favorable than you would like. This is important because acknowledging what you value and do not value about yourself leads you to live an open and honest and more real life. So, what do you value? Values are ideals in life that mean something to you. They shape the way you live. They shape the way you act privately. They shape how you interact with others. They also reveal how you feel about yourself. We all have issues with ourselves, right? Wake up in the morning, we got issues. And that's okay. Everybody's got them. But our values reveal how we think about ourselves. Examples of values would be God, love, integrity, you know, those types of things. We all value something. And it always comes out in our behavior. What we value comes out in our behavior. So if you can't articulate what you value, then you need to take some time to figure that out. And if you're the type of person who needs to write that down, write it down. But find out what you value, write it down, and then work them through. How, that's the only way you can improve on yourself is to know what you value. If you're walking around not knowing what you value, you do value things. It's just you naturally just do what you do. In order to find out what you value, you need to stop and figure that out. Your actions speak about your values. So, example, if I value the Word of God, what do I do with it every day? I pull it out and I look at it and I read it. If I value relationships with people, what do? I stay in contact with them. If I value integrity, I don't do things, right? So those are things we value. So figure those out, and that's the way. So realize you need to be the real thing. I see a lot of it when I'm out with non-Christians. They know other Christians. Now, the thing about me is I don't remember this morning when I woke up what I did or whatever. So I can't really lie a lot. Or I can't, like, misinform or try to, you know, whatever. Because, first of all, Michelle remembers everything. And so because she remembers everything, if I say something that's untrue, I know she'll figure it out and find it out. So I value not lying because I value not getting in trouble. It's just a thing. But we all know what we do. I can't do those types of things. I can't, not that I can't. That's a white lie. Oh boy, I'm in trouble now. But I value truth because I can't remember if, so it has to be true. I have to remember the truth or I will forget all my lie details, right? So I can't do it that way, right? But I value that and I think it's wrong. So I try my best not to stretch the truth or not. Now, when I sometimes tell stories up here about Michelle, yes, I elongate the situation and I add some little bit of this and I add some more characters, but that's not a lie. That's just creative interpretation of the moment. All right? And it's how I perceived the situation. Okay? Let's be clear. So values. So know your values. Figure those out. And it's really important. And you're saying, I got values. Fine. Live by those. Live by your values. Figure those out and live by them. Secondly, as a Christian, we need to show that we are concerned for others. Not a false concern, but an actual concern. We're programmed in our society to think about ourselves first. The internet is full of people and information telling everyone to put themselves first, to look out for themselves. We've missed it somewhere. Why do you think selfies is actually a thing? Selfie. It's in the title. You're taking a picture of yourself, and we've all done it. Before you couldn't do a selfie because you'd take this big giant camera and everybody would have this thing going on. Like, hey, how you doing? You know, now we're like, we got to get the right angle because this is my good side, right? And keeps the skin taut, right? You got to get it. Yeah. And so we get the right background, right? It's self-absorbed. Have I done it? Yes, of course. And many of you have too. I see your stuff. But we've been trained to do this. Studies have shown that over time, people have become more focused on ego or individualism in the last 50 years. It's increased. And so when society changes its values and focuses on these different things, and it's slowly done, we are impacted by it. It gets into the church. It gets into the church. We can't let these things. I'm not saying, okay, let's be clear. I'm not saying if you take a selfie, it's a sin. Okay, I'm not saying that you're self-absorbed and I'm going to be hashtagging every selfie you do. What I'm saying is if it becomes everything we are, there's a problem, right? And we can't let that muddy the waters of biblical values. Biblical values do not change. The understanding of biblical values can, but the actual values themselves do not change. We just heard this morning, God doesn't change. Michelle told us, he doesn't change. God is saying, I'm the same. So if he's saying that, why would his values change? He still loves you. He values you. We need to have that mindset. We need to think outwardly, not so much inwardly. Not to the point where you are walked on and abused and taken advantage of, but where you are genuinely concerned about other people's feelings, other people's lives. And we do it because those biblical values are real and they don't change. And some biblical values are Jesus and all he is, and the word of God, and discipleship, and forgiveness, and prayer, and love. We need to be the type of people that show a Christ-like concern for others. We need to be concerned for everyone out there. How many times have you walked by? And again, you always have to be careful, but have you walked by somebody upset or crying, and you're saying, this is awkward. I'm going to just keep on moving. Or did you actually come in and say, hey, are you all right? I don't know you, but what's going on? For fear of being stabbed, shot, whatever, right? Because we're programmed by society that everyone is evil if they're upset or angry. And the amount of homeless people I speak to is unbelievable. They get angry, but there's a reason why, okay? When you're dealing with some homeless people, you don't just walk up and say, why are you here? Get out. I don't want you here, and you shouldn't be here. First of all, that's aggressive, right? When I see them, I walk up and I'm like, hey, buddy, how you doing? What's going on? You all right? Everything okay? Because I don't want him thinking I'm here to attack him. I just want to know what's going on. We're getting calls. What's happening here? You all right? And then we start a great conversation. I've seen it where things have escalated for no reason, where people walk in to, there might be somebody having a bonfire at this time of year. And yes, it does happen. And we walk in and say, I've watched it. I've been behind this, and I didn't get there first. And the person going up to them says, do you have a permit for that fire? And the guy goes, no, you don't have a permit. Why? Because we don't give them out. Well, that's aggressive, and it escalates the situation, right? It's just conflict resolution. We got to be concerned about, okay, why is this happening? And these are little tiny things, but if we can't do it there, what makes you think you're going to be able to do it when something big happens, when something out of your realm of comfort happens? Are you going to actually be able to be concerned for someone else? And so we need to be involved in other people's life. Genuine involvement in others' life. And we do this by life experiences together. When my mom passed away a few years ago, I decided right then and there, I don't know how long I've got. And, you know, we always think about our lives when we're out there and you see the stuff that you see and you're like, you know, not that I'm walking around with a death cloud over me, but I don't know. None of us know when it's time. I want experiences with people so that we can build a journey, a life, and experience that. And the way you get to know people and be concerned about them and care about them is by experiencing things with them, even the bad stuff. So are we truly jumping in and doing that? There's another way we can show concern for others. We can do that by active listening. And if you don't know what active listening is, it's just a way of actually focusing in on other people. How many have had a conversation with somebody, and not because of what they were saying, but because of your own concentration issues, did you fade out? I heard a giggle. Because it happens, right? You've done it. It has nothing to do with a person. You may love them dearly, but you fade. Where were we? Where am I? What am I doing? Oh my goodness. I lost track, and now I don't know what they're talking about. And I'm like, please say something that helps me get on track. Please say a name. Give me a theme. Give me an idea. Throw something at me. I need something. It's happened. And it has nothing to do with them. Are we actively listening? So I learned a while ago to be very focused when someone's speaking. Now, am I good at it? No. I'm getting way better at it. But active listening. You pay attention. You look at their eyes. You listen to every word they say. Show that you're listening by acknowledging all these things. Provide feedback. It helps keep you in there, right? These are active things to show that you care. Defer judgment when they're saying something. When they talk about something that you're like, that's offensive, or I wouldn't do that. Wait. Don't get all upset about it. Calm down and listen. They don't have to do the things that you like for you to show concern and care about them. Okay? We need to understand that. And then respond without judgment. Respond without judgment. Help them out. So those are a few ways how we show concern for others. And we need to be the type of Christians that do that. Because there's too many times I've seen Christians, and again, I'm not talking about you here, when I'm out and about, where they offend non-Christians because the non-Christian is not doing what Christians believe they should be doing. You can't expect them to live by your values when their values are different. How do you introduce new values into their life? By being that example, by showing love, by being concerned, by being genuine and real who you are. Share with some of your secrets. Obviously be very careful with, but your concerns, your struggles, things like that. So they know you're human. We all struggle with things. And the third thing I pull out of this, that Christians were to be self-sacrificing. I don't know if we truly know what self-sacrificing is. Jesus explained this, that the path to this was whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. That type of self-sacrifice that pleases God is a natural result of taking up our cross and following Jesus. That right there is a daily thing. The cross represents death. And so, in order to take up that cross, we must die to ourselves, our own agendas, our feelings, our rights, what we want. We lay them down on the cross and crucify our fleshly desires and give up being our own boss. I like to be the boss of myself and other people. Some people don't. So control. We have to release that. We can't be the boss. We begin to make decisions based on what Jesus wants, what he does. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live, but Christ lives in, help me out, the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 5, 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. The greatest commandment are the one. The greatest commandments are the ones that require self-sacrifice. The first commandment is that we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one is to love our neighbor as ourselves. People, we can do neither of these things if we are demanding our own way. If we are demanding to be the boss, we must sacrifice our rights and desires and in order to fully obey God.
We must be willing to set aside all our desires for the good of others. Galatians 5:13-14 says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself." And so when we willingly limit our own freedoms, we're setting aside our own rights and pursuing the interests of God. God has called us to serve. We are being self-sacrificial biblically. And it demands a daily die to our passions. Because we think that if we just go, "Okay, God, I'm dying to self, so it's good. I'm done. I died to self. Let's move on." No, it's daily. Daily we die to self. Daily our desires are put aside and we want to go where He wants us to go, what He wants us to do. Romans 6:6-7, "For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin." And Galatians 2:20, "I've been crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live, and Christ lives in me." Awesome. So when you leave here today, I want you to ask yourself a few questions. It's something to think about. Are you being real? Are you being you? Are you putting on masks with your Christianity? Are you pretending to be something you're not? And if you are, why? Figure that out. Think about it. Are you being concerned genuinely for others? Not to make yourself look good, not to get the gossip, but are you genuinely concerned about what's going on in other people's life? And are you being self-sacrificing? And that's something you have to ask yourselves. As Christians, we want a genuine reputation that emulates Christ, His love, His forgiveness, His grace. And we want it to point to Him and to Him only. Not to us, but to Him. If you're living a life that is pointing to Him, you're doing it right. If you're living a life that's pointing to you, you need to rethink what you're doing. So as we go this week, get into the Word, because guess what? When we value the Word, we read it daily. And God will speak to us and He will show us what we need to work on. And then He will point us in the right direction.